John 1, and we're going to read from verse 43 to 51, to the end of the chapter. John 1, verse 43 to 51. Let us read God's word together. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that." He then added, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Amen. May the Lord bless to us these words. Please keep your Bibles open on the passage that we had on John chapter 1. We can connect like never before. We can speak to, watch, or follow people all over the world in a manner that previous generations just couldn't imagine. Yet, studies show that we are feeling more disconnected than ever. For all our efforts at connection, we still feel it. Why? I think we need to remember the real heart of the problem. Our disconnection from our Creator. That God-shaped hole, as they say, in all of us. Because without that connection, we're still missing out, even with all the different connections and all the technology that we have in the world. The big picture here in our chapter this morning is that John chapter 1 has an introduction in these first 18 verses. And here we learn that Jesus is God, and that Jesus took on flesh and he came into the world as God and man because God is making himself known and knowable. And the writer, John, wants us to believe in this Jesus. Because in knowing him, he says, there is true life. The rest of the chapter takes on that theme. Here is the knowable God. And he asks you, come and know him. That's our big picture for what's happening in this story. In this invitation to a skeptic. So we're going to meet a few different people in our passage this morning. And the first guy we meet is Nathanael, the skeptic. You may have a lot in common with this man. Sharing the gospel can be met with skepticism. You know, it should never take us off guard that people have such daunting questions. The gospel impacts every part of our lives and every part of the universe, and it impacts eternity itself, which means that some parts are going to be quite difficult for any of us, any of our minds, to understand. There's always going to be in all of our hearts and all of our minds some sort of question, some sort of thing we don't fully get or understand. Or maybe the problem is that because the Christian faith is being lived out by imperfect, often contradictory people, Well, I wouldn't be surprised if you were here today with a tough question. I'm so glad you are here. And please feel free, genuinely, please feel free to ask those questions, not now, after the service, when you get a chance. Because if the gospel is true, then we believe it needs to hold up to scrutiny and investigation. But Nathanael's doubt revolved around Jesus' hometown. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? That's there in verse 46. Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? He asks. Now, maybe his skepticism was a cultural one. I mean, Nazareth was a nothing place. It was a backwater town. Insignificant. How could the Savior of the world be found in such an insignificant place? Do you expect me to really think that my heart's deepest desire comes from such an unimpressive place? Why isn't he a big, powerful king from Jerusalem? Or maybe it's because Nathanael could see a contradiction in what Philip said. Philip claimed that he's found the one that Moses and the prophets wrote about. We see that in verse 45. Philip found Nathanael and said, "We found him, the one that all the Old Testament was talking about." But he calls this person Jesus of Nazareth. Nathanael would have known his Old Testament, where it says that the Savior would come from Bethlehem, not Nazareth. Now, while many of us, I'm sure, are familiar with the Christmas story, and we can understand how Jesus was both from Bethlehem and of Nazareth, in that he was born in one and raised in the other, Philip had no idea. He was a brand new Christian who hadn't thought through all the questions for himself. In fact, sometimes the questions we get asked can be something that we've never previously considered before. Just as an aside at this point, it can be worth noting that people who are skeptical can enter into discussions with different experiences, different intentions, and different wounds. We don't always know why someone is asking a question, even if the question is the same question someone else might be asking. They might be asking for two totally different reasons and with very different baggage behind it. Which means to truly address the question that someone is asking, we must truly hear their question. Not just the question, but their question, your question. We should listen to people with the goal of understanding, not just the goal of responding. We need to have love as well as learning. We need to have empathy as well as answers. And sometimes a great answer is, "I don't know. Let me go find out for you. Let me go ask someone for you because I don't know." Because like Philip, we don't always know. That's been one of the most frequent answers I've ever used. "I don't know, but let me go find out." So, Nathanael here is skeptical. We don't fully know where that skepticism is coming from. But he says, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" And he's well within his rights to be skeptical at this stage. He's not the only person here, though. Let's meet Philip, the connector. He connects people. There can be a style of evangelism, which is to spread the good news of Jesus, that word, evangelism. There can be a style of evangelism that is often quite unfortunate. It may look a little bit like this. Someone creates a presentation of what they know. Maybe it's a list of verses or a long quote that they've memorized, and then they just grab someone and they just unload that presentation that they've prepared and memorized onto that person, and then they run off. And this style can very often feel like ramming truth, and it might be truth, but ramming truth down someone's throats. And it's the kind of thing that very easily nowadays happens online, where we post something and we don't really think it through. We just think, oh, this is true, post. Or we hijack someone else's Facebook status and we just let rip some gospel truth, some verse, some quote, and we basically wipe our hands and we go, boom, I've done my part. I've done what I'm meant to do. Now it's up to that person whether they're going to believe. Otherwise, they're going to hell. And you sort of just wipe your hands of the situation. It's so impersonal. You feel you've done your part because you've thrown the truth out there. You've vomited out the truth. You've rammed it down the throat, and we run. That's us done. We've done our part. Now, I'm not saying that we can't argue about Jesus online or present someone the gospel in real life or give them a tract or just have a conversation. Of course we can. Of course we can. Sometimes we can have really good back and forths and discussions online and in real life. Of course we can. And the gospel is true. And it is logical, and it should be discussed and argued. But our hearts are not changed simply by arguments. Sharing Jesus with other people is more than just spreading facts and verses and statements. So here we get Philip. Philip didn't just unload a certain amount of information, and then Nathanael becomes a Christian. At that stage, Philip doesn't have all the answers. But that's okay. Nathanael gets something even better. Philip gives Nathanael something even better. He gives him an invitation. You see there in verse 46, Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. Philip doesn't have the answers, but Philip goes, come and see. Come and see this Jesus. Personally, come and see him for yourself. Come and see him relationally. Meet him. Nathanael wanted to stand in judgment over Jesus. He wanted to evaluate this or that fact. But even if Philip had been able to answer all of these questions and all of Nathanael's other questions point for point, Nathanael needed more than just points. We need more than just points. You need more than just points. And I need it. He needed a person, whether he knew it or not. Remember, Philip only started following Jesus two verses before this. How soon should it be before we start telling other people about Jesus? Well, two verses worth. He doesn't know a lot, but that's okay. He does know Jesus. The Christian should be able to find themselves to say, I have found Christ. He has changed me. Come with me to meet this Jesus. We are beggars telling other beggars, I know where the bread is. Come with me. We cannot stress enough when we're up here how becoming a Christian isn't just agreeing to certain ideas and statements. It's not an intellectual thing. It's not about how much you know. It's about who you know. Our hearts are changed when God intervenes and we meet Jesus. That's not to say that learning is wrong. Far from it. Far from it. We need to learn more about him and more about his truth and to hear the answers to all of our questions. but fundamentally, what our heart needs is Jesus. You know, sometimes Christians stand vulnerable with Philip, proclaiming a message that we know to be so large, so amazing, so important. And I can't stress that enough, how even if even my own life doesn't reflect it, how impressively beautiful the gospel actually is. But it can feel so small and so insignificant in the moment. Nathanael just wasn't impressed by this Nazareth place. But look at the cross. A symbol of weakness. A symbol of torture. A symbol of mockery. And yet, through the cross, our sin and debt is paid for. Jesus dies to take away the eternal death that each one of us deserves. And while the gospel is vast and cosmic, where Christ will redeem all of creation, how that promise is fulfilled is actually quite humble. How that promise becomes real is quite humble. How is Christ going to redeem all of creation? How is he going to fulfill his promises? Through preaching, through singing, through praying, through small and big acts of mercy and grace, through giving and serving, and things that very often other people will never see. Things that we saw in that video that many of us just don't think it's important or significant enough. But that woman, with all the little things she would do in her own home and with her friends, those conversations that to her seem little and small are to God, to Christ, so significant and so big. God uses the weak and the foolish things of this world because he is the one who's strong and mighty. He can use any one of us in any given situation, no matter how weak we feel or how little we know, because we are beggars telling other beggars where the bread is. And if you have met Jesus for yourself, then evangelism, spreading the good news of Jesus, is as simple as that. Being a beggar, telling other beggars where the bread is. So, Nathanael the skeptic goes along with Philip the connector. But why? We see in verse 46, can anything good come out of this place? Nathanael asked. Come and see, said Philip. Verse 47, they're both walking along. Why does Nathanael go with Philip? Well, the passage doesn't actually say, but I think it's because he could see how much it meant to Philip. They obviously knew each other before this because Philip made a beeline for him. He went and found Nathanael. If our families and friends and co-workers, if they saw that Jesus matters to us only on a Sunday, then why would they ever want to come with us? If they see how little it means to us, how little Jesus might mean to us, why would they come? But Nathanael can see the difference in Philip's life. He can see how enthusiastic, how passionate, how much it means to him. And he went with Philip because he saw the difference and he trusted him. And so on they go to meet the third and most important person in this passage, Jesus. Jesus now takes center stage. Philip and Nathanael are walking along. This is a terrible walk, but they're walking along. And Jesus sees them and he calls Nathanael out from a distance. Here, truly, verse 47, is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. How do you know me? Nathanael replies. I saw you, Jesus says. I saw you, verse 48, while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. As Nathanael approaches, Jesus doesn't immediately offer answers, though no doubt he could see the questions in his face. Instead, Jesus proclaims, I saw you under the fig tree. Perhaps Nathanael used to pray under a fig tree as a child. Or maybe that very morning before Philip found him, he was under a fig tree. In any case, Nathanael's doubts immediately turned to awe. Jesus knows him through and through and knows exactly what Nathanael was doing and what he was like. Nathanael thought he could only and he would only believe if he could know. But he began to believe once he realized he had been known. He came to see. He left having been seen by Jesus. So who is this Christ? Who is this person that Nathanael declares, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Nathanael is convinced by Philip's enthusiastic witness and Jesus' divine knowledge. And he recognizes who this Jesus really is. But see how Jesus responds to that. You're impressed by me knowing you? One simple thing I said about you, and you're impressed by that? I'll do more than just know you. You're going to see greater things, he says, verse 50. So what does verse 51 mean? Read it with me. Verse 51 of this chapter. He then added, very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. What is this and these greater things? Well, throughout the Old Testament, we find people celebrating whenever they find access into the presence of God, where at least temporarily, that sense of disconnection that they felt with their Creator and their King and their Lord, that sense of disconnection disappeared. One example of this happens in Genesis 28, when Jacob has his famous dream of a ladder reaching into heaven. This ladder is so significant because it connects earth and heaven. It represents entry into the presence of God, the one that human beings yearn for. Whether you know it or not, that drive that we have as a human race to connect with each other is driven by our yearning for connection with our Creator. It represents this ladder. It represents a connection, a relationship that nothing else can satisfy. And in that dream, Jacob saw angels ascending and descending. Oh, that's the wrong way around. Ascending and descending the ladder. Jacob was so amazed that he sets up a pillar and he said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. But now the disciples here, verse 51, are being told that they're going to see that reality for themselves. Instead of the angels ascending and descending, on a stairway to Jacob, they are to ascend and descend on Jesus, the Son of Man, as he's called. Jesus will be the ladder. He will be the point of connection. He will be the bridge to God. He will be the center and the source of God's plan and purposes for his special people. He will be the one who bridges the gap, who bridges the divide between us and God, us and the connection we are yearning for in our hearts. And the point is, and knowing this Jesus is to know God. That's what the writer John has been saying for the first half of this chapter. This Jesus is God. Second half of the chapter, this person you meet is God. Not only does Jesus know Nathanael, but Nathanael can know God because Jesus is God. Friends, not only does Jesus already know everything about you. Everything about you is already known by Jesus. Not only is that the truth, not only are you already known, whether you know him for yourself today or not, you are already known, but he wants you to know him and to love him too. As the passage moves into chapters 2 and 3, we see Jesus saying in another place that he himself is the house of God, that he is the way to heaven. And our response should be the same as Jacob's. But instead of saying, how awesome is this place, as he says in Genesis 28, we should say, how awesome is this person? Eventually, as he grew to know Jesus more, Philip would be able to answer the questions posed by Nathanael. But I'm sure his invitation to people never changed. If you don't know this Christ for yourself today, if he's not yours, if he hasn't made that difference in your life, if you don't have that connection that you're yearning for in life, satisfied, then come and see. Come and see. Because the goal of the gospel is more than just the spreading of facts. It's the invitation into a relationship. It's the possibility of being known and knowing him. And friends, those of you who are Christians, this should make a difference in your life. Go and spend time with the one who already knows you and the one you already know. Spend time with him. It's the connection we all yearn for deep in our hearts and in our souls. It's an encounter with the living Jesus. Amen. May the Lord bless to us these thoughts. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you don't just already know us, but you invite us to come and know you, to know your love, to know your peace, to know your comfort, your gentle forgiveness and mercy. Lord, to know that we are accepted, we are loved, we are married, and that nothing can take that away from us, not even our own sin, not even death can pluck us from your hand. No evil powers, no things in heaven or earth can take us away from you. Lord, what a precious relationship we have, that even if we lose everything here, even if we are stripped from all that we have, we still have you. We can still look forward to enjoying eternity together with the one who loves us and knows us. So help us, Lord, to come and see for ourselves. Help us to come and to meet the one who loves us. And we ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.